Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. If there's some struggle in life you're going through, if there's a Bible question, something you can't quite understand, a good opportunity to pick up that phone right now, dial directly into the studio at 844-322-2742. And, of course, that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and welcome again to another edition of Basic Gospel. We're glad you have joined us. We're turning our attention this month to joy, and boy, do we need some joy in this world today. 2020 has been a mess, and a lot of people have experienced all kinds of things, and joy hasn't been one of those. But there is a way to experience joy regardless of the circumstances that you're going through, and that joy comes from Jesus Christ. And we see this really in the story of Christmas in Luke chapter 2. That's the birth of Jesus as recorded by Luke. And in verse 10, after Jesus is born, we see an angel appearing to some shepherds out in the fields. And this is what the angel said: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I think in this world today, we see a lot of folks experiencing fear. Fear about tomorrow. What will tomorrow hold? Will they have a job? Will they be able to pay their mortgage? Well, you know, what's going to happen? And this topsy-turvy world that we live in causes a lot of those types of thoughts. And those types of thoughts can lead to fearful emotions and anxious moments in life. But in the midst of that, God is going to say to each and every one of us, fear not. And instead of fear, we can have joy. And that joy is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So here's the announcement: fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So Jesus Christ is the cause of joy in the human heart. Well, he has shown up in your life. There was a moment in time when you responded to the gospel message. You heard the story about Jesus, maybe when you were a child, maybe when you were an adult, but at some point you heard the story of Jesus. You heard that Jesus came to die for your sins. You heard that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised back to life, and that he ascended into heaven. You've heard that story, and when you heard it, you responded to it with faith. So that's how it works. God reaches out to us in grace, and we respond through faith. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. And in being saved, Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that does that. And because he's done that, that causes great joy in the human heart, and it's something that transcends the circumstances that we're in. It's something that we can experience whether life is good for us as far as our judgments are concerned or whether it's bad. We can still experience joy because of Jesus. He is the cause of great joy to anyone who receives him and recognizes him as Savior. Not only Savior, but Lord. And so it's our prayer that you experience joy, that you really know the joy of your salvation. Now, some of you listening may have never received Christ Jesus, and I pray that today is the day that you will receive him as your Lord and Savior. Anyone who receives him, God gives the right to be called children of God. You're born again into the family of God, and Jesus comes to take up residence in you. And because he has come to take up residence in you, he's with you every single day, And as a result of that, you can experience great joy through thick and thin.
Absolutely. Great words, Bob. Thank you for those encouraging words. And friends, thank you for being with us. For this edition of Basic Gospel, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And in line with what Bob is saying, you know, it's a fact. The world needs Jesus. People are muddling through their daily lives filled with fear, with pain, and with sorrow. And at Basic Gospel, we want to turn those daily struggles into the joy of a grace-filled life in Jesus Christ. That's why Bob Christopher has created a brand new CD series called Making the Case for Grace. And we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel during the month of December. You can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net and discover that with great joy that can be yours. Great joy can be yours in Jesus Christ. Making the Case for Grace by Bob Christopher. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call, actually an email that came in from Joanne. She says, thank you so much for your show. I want you to know that I want to know what God's stance is on remarriage. I know what the Bible says about divorce, but I go back and forth. This is kind of like the bowl of spaghetti, you know, and I think you're going to be able to untangle it pretty well. Some churches preach, she says, that what you did before salvation is under the blood of Jesus, and so you can marry again. Another says it's okay to remarry if the spouse cheated on you, and then another says no remarriage unless the spouse dies. I heard one pastor, in fact, say that if you married someone and you were divorced, you then have to divorce your new spouse and live alone. My church has a few remarried couples, including my associate pastor, who divorced and remarried before he came to Christ. What is the truth? And thank you for answering this perplexing question.
It is a perplexing question for so many, and the reason it's perplexing is because there are so many confusing answers being pushed out there.
Just like that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you may go to a church and they say, hey, if you're married the second time, you need to divorce that person that's sitting right next to you, that is here in church with you wanting to learn about Jesus. You need to divorce that person and go back to the first person that you had married, and then you'll be right with God. And that's the whole push is how do we make ourselves right with God? And we can't. That's the truth. That's the story. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. We just can't do it. We can't make ourselves righteous in the sight of God. So what did God do? He sent Jesus to die in our place, and he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are justified freely by the grace of God. So as a believer in Christ, you are justified. So there's not a sense that you have to do X, Y, or Z in order to maintain that or to keep that righteous standing. That was God's job, and he did that through Christ, and Christ has given us his righteousness, and that's our righteousness now forever.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about making ourselves right with God. So that enables us to look at these things, these situations that we encounter in life, with a sense of wisdom and say, is this the right thing? I think the Word of God gives freedom to remarry. If you've divorced and somebody else shows up in your life and you start a relationship with that person and you two are building a friendship around your relationships with Christ Jesus, you're building that foundation in your life, and if that relationship grows and leads to marriage, I think that's A-okay to get married. I think the Word of God gives you that freedom. It gives you that liberty to do so. Now, you have to step back and ask the question, is that the right thing for me to do? I mean, is that the wise thing for me to do? And maybe it's not the wise thing. And I think the Spirit of God will give you some discernment there, and certainly we need some discernment. I mean, we see a lot of people that will get divorced, and fairly soon thereafter they'll marry somebody else, and they're looking to marriage to solve a spiritual problem. They're looking to marriage to make to bring them ultimate happiness. Yeah. There was a person in Scripture that Jesus encountered that followed that path. It was the woman, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at Jacob's well. Mm-hmm. And John records that story, and they have this conversation, and it's a conversation that gets deep really fast. And Jesus says, go tell your husband, because he had said, I'm the Messiah or something like that. And he says, go tell your husband. And the lady says, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, well, I know that you've had five husbands, and this current person you're with is not your husband. And I'm sure that just shocked the weebie-jeebies just right out of her. But she was a person looking for happiness in relationships, looking for happiness in marriage, and she never found it. Every time she was left with this feeling of thirst, this feeling of hunger, this spiritual thirst, this spiritual hunger. Well, that can only be satisfied in Christ. He's the one that gives us living water. So if you're looking to marriage, a second marriage, you know, that first one wasn't so good and kind of missed the mark on that, but I think in this next one I can really find happiness, then that's not wise to move forward. Right. You got to find your happiness in Christ. You got to find your contentment in Christ Jesus. So if you're single, just allow the Lord to kind of really fill that heart up, mm-hmm. Of yours with His love, with His grace, with His mercy, and grow you to a point where you're content in Him. Whether you get married or not, you're content in Jesus. All is right with you. It is well with your soul. And from that place, then you can say, all right, if God brings somebody into my life, I'll be open to that. But yeah. If not, I'm okay.
Right.
And I think that's how we have to approach these things. We're always looking at it based on law. Is this going to make me unrighteous or righteous?
Yeah.
And I think we have to say, hey, God's already taken care of all of that in Christ. If I'm in Christ, then God's righteousness has been given to me. It's been credited to me. So I'm going to trust Him. Mm-hmm. And if marriage is in the cards later on down the road, I'm going to trust Him with that as well.
Absolutely. Well, we hope this is a help to that particular writer. And friends, if you have questions that you'd like to pose, can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can do the same thing by sending an email to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Barbara listening to us in Texas. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad for your show. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old, their brothers and sisters didn't get to go because they were too young. Well, I can imagine when they got back that they were asking, well, why couldn't they go, and what did he do? And it seemed like Mary had to keep all this stuff to herself. How would she have said, well, your brother is God, you know? How could she have told him that? And I wondered sometimes how she had to keep all these things in her heart.
Well, you know, Barbara, that's exactly what the scriptures say. You know, early on in the story of Jesus, it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. She really took in what the Lord said, and she thought about that. And I think that's a powerful statement. It's something that we need to do more often, isn't it? Pondering these things in our hearts and really working them out. Now, as far as what she may have told to her other children about Jesus, they knew something was special about him, And they were certainly jealous of him. I mean, we see that, you know, once Jesus starts his own ministry, they tell him, his brothers tell him, you need to go to Jerusalem and show up at this festival. And the reason that they told him that is because they knew that the Jewish leaders were plotting against Jesus. So you see their jealousy and their hatred toward him. So they didn't really know exactly who Jesus was. They didn't know, you know, his real identity as the one who was both fully God and fully man. That was something that was later revealed. So I don't know how Mary would have handled that. But I think she would have handled it with a sense of wisdom. But Scripture really doesn't give us the detail, does it?
No. Oh, okay. She just had to handle it like you're too young, or that's why you didn't get to go, or something like that.
Probably so. Yeah, we just have to trust that, you know, she walked with wisdom, and Joseph as well, that they knew something special about Jesus, and they knew that, you know, his name Jesus meant Savior. He was the one that was going to save the people from their sins. Certainly the angel that appeared both to Joseph and then to Mary before the birth of Christ gave them some insight and some information about who this child was going to be and what he was going to accomplish in life as far as his work being sent from the Father. So they knew all of that, and how they handled that with the rest of the kids, the Scripture just doesn't give us that information.
Okay. I agree. That's the way we got to leave it. Okay. Thank you for your program.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for calling in, and hope you had a great Thanksgiving last week, and grateful for your call today.
Thanks, Barbara.
Well, I'm great. I'm planning on listening the rest of the time, and I'm 90 years old, and I'm learning lots of things.
Well, Barbara, that's wonderful to hear. And thank you so much for just letting us be a part of your life. And thank you for being a part of ours.
Yes, indeed.
That means a lot to us.
Yes, sir. Okay. God bless.
Well,
bye-bye.
God bless. And you call anytime, Barbara. We would love to hear from you anytime you want to pick up that phone and call us.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty.
That's a good offer.
Well, I hope you take it up, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Bye-bye.
844-322-2742. If you want to follow on Barbara's path, well, we would love for you to do that. 844-322-2742. And we've reminded you of this before, but Bob has posted a lot of great teaching on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. The latest, of course, is about the judgment seat of Christ, and it answers the question, will I have to stand before God in heaven and see all of the sins I've ever committed shown on that big, giant movie screen all for you and God and everyone to see? Well, to get the answer to this and many other worrisome questions when you visit the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Lots of videos there that Bob has posted, so just click the videos link at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Again, that's basicgospel/net. I'm sorry. Basicgospel.net/YouTube. Okay. All right. Well, we had this question that came in, and let's listen.
Yeah, my question concerns the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. It doesn't make sense to me on a couple of different counts. On one aspect, he's a member of the early Christian church. He's got to know he can't hide anything from the Holy Spirit, so why would he try to lie? The other part of what I don't understand is he's a member of the early Christian church. He's one of God's people. He rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem. I just don't understand why God would give him one chance. Okay, he messed up. Boom, he's dead. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. If you could answer that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, that story causes a lot of questions, raises a lot of questions, and gives us a lot of concerns. We certainly hope that would never happen to us. But here's a couple of things that we need to understand about this story. So the first thing that we need to understand is the context. And we see Barnabas selling a piece of land and then giving all of the proceeds of that to the early church, to that church at Jerusalem to help out. And he as it says in verse 27, he sold the field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now we go into chapter 5, and we pick up the story with Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, and they sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Now, we make some assumptions here that Ananias and Sapphira were true believers. We don't know that. We don't know that that is the case. So the scripture doesn't tell us that these were brothers and sisters in Christ. It just simply says that there was a man named Ananias who sold a piece of property, and he and his wife connived together to keep some of it for themselves and to give the rest of it to the apostles. Now, when they gave it, they said, "We have given all of it like Barnabas did." And that was the lie. And Peter calls them on that, and he says, "Satan, why has Satan filled your heart?" Now, I think that is something that we should pay attention to. Satan can't fill a person's heart, a believer's heart. So we're just not sure. We're just not sure if Ananias and Sapphira were believers in Christ. So why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men but God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And then we see the same thing happen to Sapphira the wife. Now, why did this happen? That's part of the questions that are raised with this. But what we do know is that people saw it and said, "Hey, this isn't just a religious game that we're called to play. This is real life. This is the genuine thing. God has come down and has made himself available to mankind through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in that, he is establishing a new group of people called the church. And I think to protect the church, and that's what we need to realize, that God is going to protect his church. He is going to protect the body of Christ. And I think he took a stance there at the beginning and said, "Hey, this, you know, we're not going to have outsiders coming in trying to infiltrate and bring in lies to an assembly, to a group that is based on truth, the one who says, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.'" Yeah. So I think that's why this happened, and so that's my two cents. There my two cents on it.
Well, that was a good 2 cents.
You okay. Did
Well, thanks to everybody for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts. It's what keeps Basic Gospel on the air and online. And to help today, click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your December gift, we're going to send you a brand new series on those CDs by Bob Christopher. It's called Making the Case for Grace. Now, through this study in Romans, you'll discover the great joy of having a grace-filled relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to send it to you with our thanks for being a donor and being a supporter of Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net. And don't forget, overnight, if you have a question, you can call and leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you and answer it here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.